You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Our faith in God is demonstrated when we give generously and sacrificially. Learn more about this truth in week 3 of our series, Add to Heart.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our online worship service. My name is Chet Desagun. I'm one of the pastors who get the privilege of serving here in Victory Metro East. And we're praying for those of you na nasalanta po ng recent na bagyo. We're praying for relief. We're praying that whatever the calamity has devastated, God would return to you a hundredfold. If you still know anyone who's in need of help and prayer, please don't hesitate to let us know. And we'd be happy to pray for you. So again, welcome everyone. We're now in the last installment, the third week of our series on finances entitled Add to Cart. It's the last installment before we go to our Christmas series. So, onting days na lang po, Christmas na, and we do believe because of God in our life, it's still going to be a Merry Christmas indeed. So, we're now on week 3 of Add to Cart, and in week 1 of our series, we talked about God deserving all our best offering. In the story of Abel and Cain. In week 2, last week, we talked about honoring the Lord with our finances, honoring God with the first fruits of our wealth. And now, we're gonna talk about sacrificial giving. When it comes to adding to cart, ayan, kaway-kaway po sa mga mahilig mag-online shopping. For some of you, if you're like me, marami pong items na naka-add to cart. Hanggang add to cart lang muna. Because we need to be wise in our spending. But we add into our cart an item that catches our attention, isn't it? If an item is so good, if an item is useful, if an item is not that expensive, if an item is worth blessing or giving away to other people, we add to cart items that catch our attention. But we want to ask the question, when it comes to our finances and when it comes to our giving, what catches the attention of God? What catches the heart of God when it comes to finances and giving? That's the question we're going to answer as we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Can we open our Bibles and read along with me? I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Says there, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for adding so many things in our heart the past few weeks. And Lord, as we worship you, as we dig into your word, we're excited to meet you. Would you change us so that we can know you more, love you more, obey you more as we worship and dig into your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So the story that we read talks about Jesus noticing the widow's offering, Jesus watching the treasury, Jesus watching what people were putting in the offering box, and he notices the offering of the rich people and the widow. So just to give you a background of Mark chapter 12, the context before the story that we just read earlier was that Jesus came face to face with some of the religious leaders. He came face to face with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus with a question, testing him about and asking him a question about taxes. And that's where we get the verse that says, where Jesus says, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar and give to God what is due to God. So the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus with that question. And before this story that we read also, Jesus encounters the Sadducees, the religious leaders who had a wrong mindset about the resurrection. And Jesus speaks to them and corrects their wrong mindset. After the Pharisees, the Sadducees, then comes the scribes, the Bible scholars during the time of Jesus. And there, he talks about the greatest commandment, about loving God and loving others just as yourself. And Jesus, seeing through their hearts and seeing through their hypocrisy, answers their questions very well and wisely that no other people already dared to question him further. And then, after Jesus faces these religious leaders of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, he then gives the people a warning. Just 3 verses before the story that we have read, in verse 38 to 40, it says there, Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 40, "And in his teaching, he said, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive their greater condemnation.' Even before the story of the widow's offering her 2 copper coins, we see a mention of the widow just a few verses before the story that we've just read. And it says there, the scribes or religious leaders were devouring widows' houses. We see there a God who is so mindful about widows, the poor and the needy. You see, the scribes in the time of Jesus were considered as the Bible scholars of their day. They weren't supposed to be paid for them teaching the Word of God, but they were allowed to receive gifts. But what was happening in the time of Jesus was the scribes and religious leaders used their religious authority to manipulate and extort people into giving them grand gifts. They thought that the best thing a person could do was to give teachers of the law grand gifts, extorting it, manipulating, using flattery, even to those who could not afford grand gifts to be given to them. That's why the scripture that we read said, the scribes kept on devouring widows' houses. Can you imagine that with me? God correcting the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and he upholds the cause of the widow because their homes were being devoured. Jesus just faced people who wanted him dead. And then he goes, sits down in front of the treasury, and sees a poor widow who's probably, she's one of the widows whose home was devoured. Probably she just lost her husband. Scripture doesn't say if she has relatives or has a lot of possessions left. But then Jesus notices this poor widow giving her 2 copper coins. I can only imagine how that might have touched the heart of Jesus. God was mindful of widows, fatherless, and the needy. In fact, scripture says he is a father to the fatherless, a husband to the widows. What a good God we have. He is mindful of the needs of the widow. In fact, in Deuteronomy 26, verse 12, even in the Old Testament, we see a God who is mindful of widows. In fact, he instructs this in Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. He says, "When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the 3rd year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, or the priest, the sojourner, or the traveler, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled." Exodus 22, 22 to 23 even says, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry." We have a God who is mindful to the needs of the widow, the fatherless, and the needy. And as God was mindful of their needs, because he knew that a widow was poor and helpless, then he sees a poor widow giving her offering to God. Widows in the time of Jesus were practically helpless. Women in their time were not allowed formal education. They stayed in the home. They didn't work. They had no source of income. So if a woman becomes a widow, she would need to rely on her children or other people for her provision. Widows were helpless and they relied on others for help. And then here comes the story of that widow that Jesus saw giving her offering in the treasury. So in that story that we read, the widow's offering, we see different characters. We see Jesus sitting down watching the offering box. We see a group of many rich people putting in large sums of money. We see a poor widow putting her 2 copper coins, and we see also the disciples in the picture. If you notice in the scripture that we just read, it was to the disciples that Jesus pointed out the widow's offering. Could it be that Jesus was very intentional in pointing this out to the disciples? You see, it's interesting to note that it wasn't to the entire crowd that Jesus pointed out the widow's offering. He pointed it out to his close disciples, to people who said they will follow him. It was intentional that for those who followed him, for his disciples, there he pointed out the widow's offering. And how about you? Do you consider yourself a disciple and a follower of Christ? Could it be that this too is a principle that we as disciples need to practice? And God wants to highlight this story as well to us as disciples. It's interesting to note that it was to the disciples that Jesus pointed out this act of giving. So two insights we can glean from the scripture that we just read. First is that God sees our giving. God sees our giving. Mark 12:41 says this, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box." Jesus watched. In the Greek, in the original language of Scripture, the Greek word that was used for watch denotes a continuing action. So Jesus did not just watch, but he is still watching. To watch means to look or observe something with continuity and attention. Jesus paid attention to those who were giving to the offering box. Verse 41 says, "Many rich people put in large sums." Verse 42, "And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny." Jesus saw who gave, and Jesus saw what they gave. He saw the rich giving large sums. He saw a poor widow giving two small copper coins. Our giving is seen by God. Imagine Jesus in this time in the Bible watching the treasury. Imagine God watching us every time we give, whether online or on-site. God sees our giving. Our giving is seen by God. Let me ask you this question. What would change in our giving if we truly understood that God is watching? How would our giving change now that we understand that God sees our giving? Jesus saw not just the external act of giving, but also the internal condition of those who give. And because Jesus saw not just the external action, because Jesus saw the internal condition of those who were giving, then Jesus saw their giving differently. Jesus saw their giving differently, not with a human perspective, but from a kingdom perspective. Jesus saw not just who gave and what they gave, but Jesus saw how they gave, their posture in giving. Verse 41 says, "Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny." In their time, two small copper coins, in the King James Version, it's called a widow's mite. In the ESV, it's called a widow's offering. It's interesting to note that it was called a mite, which means a crumble or a very small piece. A mite or a lepton represented the lightest and the least valuable coin during the time of Jesus. It's a Jewish coin, the smallest that was used in the New Testament. During the time of Mark's writing, it was worth 1/64 of a denarius. So a denarius is the minimum wage of a worker during that day and age. So can you imagine? Whatever was the minimum wage during that time, divide it by 64, that was the worth of one copper coin. The widow had two. So if we translate it in our time today, as an estimate for today's time in the Philippines, a minimum wage worker probably earns about 320 pesos as the daily minimum wage. Divide that by 64, that's 4.92 pesos. Round off na po natin, 5 pesos, ha? Mahina po sa mat. Okay, 4.92 pesos, 5 pesos times 2, that's 10 pesos. To some of us, barya lang yan, baka nahuhulog lang yan sa tabi-tabi, but to some of us, that could be something that people can, that's the only thing they have to live on. For the widow, it says, her two small copper coins, 1/64 of the minimum wage, that was all she had to live on. And instead, she puts it in the offering box. Verse 43 says this, "And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box.'" If you look at that verse logically, when has two copper coins become more than the large sum of money than the rich were putting in? Why was her offering considered more? Why would Jesus say the widow has put in more than all of those? Hindi nga more than one rich person eh. More than all of the what the rich people had put together combined. Her two small copper coins were worth more than all of those offerings combined. From a human perspective, in a logical perspective, if you would think about it, her two copper coins is not worth much, isn't it? But in the eyes of God, in God's perspective, from a kingdom perspective, two small copper coins became more than all the other givings put together. What was the difference? It was the sacrifice that was involved in the offering. It was the sacrifice that made the difference in the widow's offering. What people could overlook, if I probably was in that time, I could easily overlook two small copper coins and focus more on the large sums. But Jesus did not overlook it. What people could easily overlook when it comes to our giving, God highlights, God recognizes, God notices. Why? Because of the sacrifice involved. God saw who gave, God saw what they gave, but God also saw how they gave. God saw that the widow gave sacrificially. God saw the sacrifice behind the giving. It was the sacrificial giving that attracted the Lord's attention. Earlier in our preaching, we said, what attracts the attention of God? What attracts the heart of God when it comes to finances and giving? Here in this story, we get a glimpse of the heart of God. God's attention was caught by someone who gave sacrificially. For some of you here, probably you're giving away some things, you're giving more than what you can bear, and you might feel like nobody notices. Let me encourage you, God notices. Our sacrificial giving attracts the Lord's attention. God sees our giving. That's the first thing we learn from that scripture, God sees our giving. Second insight that we can learn from that scripture, God does not just see, but God honors sacrificial giving. God honors sacrificial giving. The story of the widow made it to the Bible, and we read it to this very day. I could imagine when you look at Jesus' time, he could have said, hey, disciples, look, large amounts of sum of money. But he said, look, this poor widow giving two small copper coins. Up to this day, that poor widow gives us a legacy of her sacrificial giving. There was nothing much said about that widow, aside from she was poor and she only had two small copper coins. But even though she was poor, she was unnamed, her legacy still remains up to today. Nothing much was said about that widow, but what is said of her faith is commendable by God. She didn't have much. She was unnamed. She was poor. She was a widow. But her giving, her sacrificial giving, still impacts us to this very day. The poor widow's offering made the softest noise in the offering box, but had the loudest impact in the heart of God and in the eyes of Jesus. The poor widow's offering made the softest noise in the offering box, but had the loudest impact in the eyes and in the heart of God. Would you like your offering to have the loudest impact in the heart of God? To have the biggest impact in His eyes? Now we know the secret. It's sacrificial giving that makes the loudest impact in God's eyes and in God's heart. Verse 44, it says there, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. There's a contrast in that verse, out of abundance versus out of poverty. And I'm reminded of the Macedonian church that Paul commends in the New Testament. He said, in the Macedonian church, out of their poverty, welled up rich generosity. Parang hindi nag-a-add up. Hindi ba dapat pag mas lalong naghihirap, lalong nagtitipid, lalong nag-keep to yourself? But in a kingdom perspective, that was what God commended, what Paul commended in Scripture. Out of their poverty, welled up rich generosity. Out of abundance or out of poverty, how are you giving? God honored not the portion, but the proportion. When it comes to the rich people, when it comes to proportion, they gave out of abundance. They gave out of excess. But when it comes to the widow, that may have been a very small portion, but in proportion to what she had, that was all she had to live on. God honored the proportion and not the portion of her giving. I'm reminded of recent stories during this Ulysses typhoon and calamity. Two stories I want to highlight. First is the Reyes family. Hello po, Kuya Von and Ate Rose. I'm so inspired and encouraged by this family. Isa po sila sa nasalanta during the recent Ulysses typhoon. Their cars were submerged. Their home was submerged in water. Even yung business, yung washing machines na ginagamit po nila sa business nila, laundry business, were submerged in water. But after they've cleaned their house, they went out of their way, just recently devastated, but went out of their way. They baked banana bread, gave it to their neighbors na nasalanta, and now they are offering free laundry services to those who are in need of it, to other typhoon victims as well. Kahit nasalanta, tumutulong pa rin. Another story that I want to highlight, she's one of our student leaders. Her name is Charm. Their house was one of those that was really devastated by the recent typhoon. But as we've noticed, all the relief that they receive as a family, all the relief that's being given to her, she goes ahead and shares it to the other people who evacuated. And she's also thinking up of ways on how to gather donations so that they can also give to other people who've been affected. Imagine, nasira yung bahay nila, nasira yung mga gamit nila, but still this person keeps on thinking of ways on how to still help other people. And God is moved by stories like that. They are just two of the stories that we've heard in this recent calamity. And if you are one of those who've been generously giving and especially sacrificially giving, God honors not just the portion, but the proportion of your giving. Verse 44 says, "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." At first, we saw a contrast between out of abundance or out of poverty. In this verse, we see again another contrast, giving a contribution versus putting in everything. Giving a contribution versus putting in everything. I remember of a story, a fictional story about the chicken and the pig. So the chicken and the pig inside the farm were having a conversation. Sabi nila, "Uy, let's treat our farmer, our master, into a delightful breakfast." So the chicken said, "I think we should serve them ham and egg or bacon and egg." So yung baboy napakamot. And the pig said, "To give an egg, you only need to give a contribution. But to give ham or bacon, I would need to put in everything, even my life." But you know what? The posture of that widow, she put in everything she had to live on. God honored not the sum, not just the sum, but God honored the sacrifice behind her giving. And up to this day, we're blessed by that sacrificial giving. Our sacrificial giving is honored by God. God honors sacrificial giving. You see, as we end, what makes something a sacrifice is the cost that it takes the giver. What makes something sacrifice is the cost that it takes the giver. The value of the sacrifice depends on the cost that it took the giver. And for the widow, what it meant for her to give all that she had to live on was a shift from trust. I told you earlier that widows were practically helpless. They relied on other people for their provision. But when the widow gave her two small copper coins to the offering box, to God, it implies a shift in who she trusted. It implies a shift to trust not on money, not on people, but to shift her trust to God. Not on her two small copper coins, but to God. I have here with me a 500 peso bill. Hard-earned. In our day and time, this could buy us a very decent meal for a day. This could cover for your meal for a day. For some of you who have families, this could already buy a few groceries that would last you a day or two. For some of us, this covers our entire expense, meal, transportation. We can buy a few things with a 500 peso bill. Pag nakakita ka ng 500 peso bill na nakakalat, pupulutin natin yun kasi malaki yung worth nun eh. But wouldn't it be ridiculous If I put my trust in this 500 peso bill, it would be very ridiculous to say, I will put my trust in this 500 peso bill to provide for our future retirement, to provide for our children's tuition fee, to provide for everything we will need for the rest of our lives. Wouldn't it be ridiculous? But you see, every time we rob God, every time we don't give to God, every time we don't honor God with our finances, that's exactly what we're saying. It's as if we're putting our trust to the money that we keep, to the money that we hold tightly to. I know I cannot put my trust in this 500 peso bill for our future. But what I do know, I can put this 500 peso bill in the hand of God and entrust my life to Him. It's as if that's the same thing the widow did. She shifted her trust from the two small copper coins. It's as if she's saying, I can't put my trust in my two small copper coins, but I can entrust my two small copper coins in the hand of the God who will take care of me. You cannot consider something a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you anything. It's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you anything. If it comes from excess, that's not sacrifice. But God sees that giving nonetheless, and God honors giving when it's by faith, even if it comes from the excess. But what makes giving a sacrifice is if it costs you something. If it's something you don't need, that's not sacrifice. If it costs you nothing, then that's not sacrifice. But if it costs you much, that's what you call a sacrifice. For the widow who gave that sacrificial giving, it wasn't an amount issue. It was a heart issue. It was a trust issue. It was an issue of who to put her trust in. Not on two small copper coins, but to God. That's why she gave it to God. A trusting heart. My prayer is that God would add it to our heart. More trust, more faith in Him. Add to heart more trust and more faith in God. Sacrificial giving is possible only through faith. And my prayer is that God would author and perfect our faith so that we could know Him more and trust Him more. Only a person who trusts in God by faith is able to give sacrificially. Sacrificial giving honors God when it is by faith. I am reminded of the verse in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, even if you give all you have to the needy and to the poor, but if not done in love, if not done by faith, that's only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. But if you give to God and give to the needy by faith, it's an offering that truly pleases God. Only when we trust God by faith can we give sacrificially. By faith giving, by faith means God is involved. Is God involved in your finances? Is God involved in your giving? Are you giving by faith? And when we say by faith, it also implies we also seek the wisdom of God. We agree in faith together. Let God be involved in your giving and in your sacrificial giving. I pray that we will trust God with our heart today. I pray that we will trust God with whatever we have. I pray that because of that trust and faith in God, we would be able to give to Him and give to others sacrificially. As we end, you see, we only sacrifice for the things that we see are worth it, isn't it? For the students, we sacrifice sleepless nights because we know our studies are worth it. Para po sa mga single, nanliligaw at in love, nagsasacrifice tayo tipid-tipid para may pang-date because we know the person we're pursuing is worth it. For the parents here who have sacrificed a lot for their family because you know that family is worth it. The same is true with God. We only sacrifice when we know it's worth it. Do you believe that God is worth giving sacrificially to? It would be hard to sacrifice if we fail to see the God who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us first and foremost. It would be hard to give everything if we fail to see that it was God who gave us His everything first and foremost. John chapter 3, verse 16, a familiar passage, but speaks so much of the costly sacrifice God had to make for you and for me. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. What makes something a sacrifice is the cost it took the giver. For God to be able to save you and me, it cost him a great sacrifice, sacrificing his one and only son for you and for me. In view of Jesus' sacrifice, I pray that we will put our trust in him. May that trust be seen in our giving. Again, God sees our giving. God honors our sacrificial giving. And I pray that Jesus' ultimate sacrifice would change the way we give. My prayer is that Jesus' ultimate sacrifice would cause us to give generously and sacrificially to God and to others. May Jesus' ultimate sacrifice cause us to give generously and sacrificially to God and to others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for reminding us today of the widow's offering that you have wanted to point out to your disciples. Lord, as we follow you, as we declare ourselves to be disciples of you, may we too take note of that widow's offering, the kind of sacrificial giving that says we will put our trust in you. If you are here and you just know you're in need of finances and you're believing God to come through for you financially, can I pray for you? If that is you, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in need of financial breakthrough. Lord, I pray that you would open the floodgates of heaven to provide for them, bless them so that they can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for another group of people. If you are here and you just know it's really hard for you to give sacrificially, you just know a lot of things have happened in this pandemic that causes you to keep more instead of give more, to be in fear rather than in faith, I pray that God will meet you today, that He would reveal Himself to you more than ever, that He would reveal Himself to you as the one worthy of your trust, the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. If God had given His one and only Son to provide salvation for you and for me, how much more all the other needs? If that is you and you're having a hard time to give to God and to give sacrificially and generously, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are having a hard time to give to you, give to others, and to sacrifice. Lord, thank you that you will meet us where we are. Lord, you know what we've been through in this season of pandemic, in the past few months of typhoon after typhoon. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling, Lord, just to make ends meet. Lord, would you cause them to know you more? Lord, cause them to know you, the God who takes care of us financially, the God who is worthy of our trust. So Lord, as they put their trust in you, Lord, may they also be a channel of blessing to others. Can we all pray, Lord, today as we listen to your word, Lord, we repent for all of those times that we've held on to our possessions, to our money so tight that we failed to honor you with our giving. Lord, as we end today's service, we say we put our trust in you. Lord, we repent for all of the times we've put our trust in money, possessions, finances. And Lord, today, as your people, we say, we put our trust in you for our future, for our finances. And Lord, I pray that your ultimate sacrifice would cause us to give generously and sacrificially to you and to others. Use us to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that God would add more faith and more trust in your heart today and all the days of your life. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app. You may also give through our website and share your prayer requests and answered prayers with us there.